Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. First today, I want to express my sadness at the sudden passing of a great American and patriot, Lynette Diamond Hardaway, who with her sister, Rochelle Silk Hardaway Richardson, were the Diamond and Silk conservative vlogging duo whose political commentary shows you can still see on frankspeech.com and elsewhere. They're great Americans and great patriots. And Diamond died suddenly a few days ago, and she's only 51 years old. Very tragic and a great loss for the conservative movement. My hope is that Silk will continue her great work for freedom. President Trump and other conservative heavyweights appeared and spoke yesterday at the memorial service for Diamond in North Carolina. I only watched a little bit of it. I've been very busy. I want to go back and see if I can see the whole thing. The British Daily Mail newspaper, online newspaper, carried a rather, what I thought was rather biased story, mocking Trump and claiming that things got strange when Silk claimed that her sister was poisoned. I got the impression that it may have been as a result of the COVID-19 vaccine, but I don't know the whole story. I didn't read much more of the Daily Mail after the first few paragraphs, but I will go back and try to find out what happened here. Moving on, if you've tuned in on our recent previous shows, you probably heard bits and pieces of the material I'm going to talk about today. Some people may find what I'm about to present unbelievable or right-wing misinformation, but at least from my perspective, it makes a lot of sense and is badly in need of official investigation or verification. If it's true, then it means we have an illegal, enormously powerful shadow government operating behind the scenes, involving officials of our intelligence agencies and in concert with the Communist Chinese Party, the CCP. Pretty important stuff, actually. And their goal seems to be to influence and control America by rigging, among other things, by rigging our elections. I'm by no means the only one concerned with this information. And if what is presented can be verified as true, it implies treason on the part of those Americans who allegedly are acting on behalf of this shadow government, including bad actors at the highest levels of our government, it would appear, and acts of war against the USA by Communist China and other countries. Perhaps because of these very serious implications and the potential chaos this could bring to our government and society, it's not surprising so many of our judiciary and other sectors of government seem afraid to even discuss these allegations. Be that as it may, if these perilous actions are true, yet not exposed and eliminated, we've lost our country. What this all boils down to are claims that the CCP and possibly other foreign operatives have been using a CIA-developed election surveillance supercomputer called the Hammer and a program used with it known as Scorecard to flip millions of votes cast for Donald Trump to Joe Biden in the 2020 election and from Trump-endorsed candidates to leftist Democrat and perhaps RINO, that's Republican in name only, candidates in the 2022 midterm elections. I'm going to quote from two articles posted on the websites technocracy.news and theamericanreport.org, O-R-G. The latter website has an extensive, very lengthy article posted on it, and I believe updated earlier this month by authors Mary Fanning and Alan Jones. Fanning's has appeared numerous times via audio on documentaries and interviews about election integrity on Mike Lindell's website, frankspeech.com. So if you want more details about all this, go to the websites and see for yourself. I'm now going to read from the article on technocracy.news. This was says here it was posted November 5, 2020, which would be right after the 2020 presidential election. The headline says, "The Hammer and Scorecard, weapons of mass parentheses, vote, close parentheses, manipulation, question mark. There's an editor's note at the top of the article. Quote, the intelligence community is largely staffed with technocrats who have no ethical boundaries when operating outside of the law. Hacking into computers to flip votes is a previously established fact, but is not being discussed during the 2020 election debacle. That Obama's former director of national intelligence, James Clapper, and his director of the CIA, John Brennan, are part of the proverbial deep state is an understatement. They're on record as hating Trump with a passion and have stated their willingness to do anything to scuttle his chances of reelection. The big question to ask now is the hammer and scorecard or its modern derivatives in operation today? The article begins, quote, in February 2009, the Obama administration commandeered a powerful supercomputer system known as the Hammer. The Hammer includes an exploit application known as Scorecard that is capable of hacking into elections and stealing the vote. According to CIA contractor turned whistleblower Dennis Montgomery, who designed and built the Hammer. I'm going to diverge from the article a little bit here. I'm still trying to find out more about this. Mike Lindell has mentioned this a number of times. Apparently, there is a gag order as a result of a federal lawsuit in Nevada, a gag order on Dennis Montgomery. So someone had asked Mike Lindell if he will do a, since he's done got so many videos about elections matters on his website, that he might do one on this. And he indicated that he would. We're hoping that he does to make things clearer. Anyway, getting back to the article, quote, the whistleblower tapes. Confidential audio recordings released by U.S. District Judge G. Murray Snow's courtroom in November 2015 revealed that Scorecard was deployed by the Obama team against Florida election computers to steal the 2012 presidential election on behalf of President Barack Obama and Vice President Joe Biden. Scorecard is now being activated to steal the vote on behalf of Joe Biden once again. Biden utilized the Hammer and Scorecard while running for vice president in 2012. Votes are again being stolen on Joe Biden's behalf as he runs for president of the United States in 2020. This time, Scorecard is stealing votes in Florida. Let me see here. I just hit something and got thrown out of here. This time, Scorecard is stealing votes on Florida, in Florida, Georgia, Texas, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Nevada, and Arizona, according to Montgomery. Scorecard steals elections by tampering with the computers at the transfer points of state election computer systems and outside third-party election data vaults as votes are being transferred. Scorecard uses a prismatic scoring algorithm that Montgomery created to achieve the desired results by those that control the Hammer and Scorecard. In Florida, one of the transfer points is VR Systems Incorporated, based in Tallahassee. Software vendor VR Systems operates in 8 U.S. states. The Democrats tested their technology during the Democratic Party primaries. Otherwise, Bernie Sanders would have been the 2020 nomination, would have won the 2020 nomination. Scorecard was utilized on behalf of Joe Biden during the 2020 primary against Bernie Sanders. The Democrat primary was stolen from Bernie Sanders. CIA whistleblower Dennis Montgomery turned out over a massive cache of illegally harvested surveillance and election data in August 2015 and December 2015 to the FBI and CIA under two immunity agreements that were granted to Montgomery by Assistant U.S. Attorney Deborah Curtis and FBI General Counsel James Baker. You may have heard of him. He went to Twitter, I believe. It's the same guy, and was recently fired. Montgomery testifies from Twitter. Montgomery testified regarding Scorecard and the Hammer while under oath and while being videotaped at the FBI Secure Washington, D.C. field office, SCIF, that is Sensitive Compartmented Information Facility. If CIA whistleblower Montgomery had lied about anything, he would be in prison today for lying to the FBI. Montgomery is not in prison. Director of National Intelligence John Negroponte invoked the State Secrets Privilege and Government Protective Act against Montgomery in order to muzzle Montgomery and prevent him from revealing illegal acts that had been committed by the government. Carlotta Wells, a U.S. DOG litigator and assistant director of the U.S. Department of Justice since the 1990s, told Montgomery that the State Secrets Privilege and Government Protective Order cannot be invoked by government officials for the purpose of covering up government malfeasance. If covering up government malfeasance is the government's intention, Wells told Montgomery, the muzzle order is null and void. The Obama administration illegally commandeered the hammer and scorecard. They moved the hammer to Fort Washington, Maryland on February 3, 2009. And that's the end of the story on technocracy.news. They have a link that says read the full story here. And it takes you to theamericareport.org, theamericanreport.org, I'm sorry. And it has a link there to an article, and it starts out, I think it's titled The Hammer. And here are some highlights. This article is so long, I've yet to get through the whole thing, but I'm going to try to hit some of the highlights that I selected from it. The article begins, the double agents of DC, ODNI, that's the Office of Director of National Intelligence, I believe, held back report on foreign interference in 2020 election until after Pelosi / Ray Epps J6 op and electoral vote certification. Claims China did not meddle in election. Clapper accused of commandeering hammer, protecting Cuban spy at DIA, that would be the Defense Intelligence Agency. And there's some information about that, this Cuban spy, but there's so many facets of this article that I'm not going to go further into that. Anyway, the article, again, is by Mary Fanning and Alan Jones, and it's dated, it has a current date of January 7, 2023, I believe. So, now, it begins, a declassified version of a classified report that the intelligence community provided to the president, senior executive branch officials, and congressional leadership and intelligence oversight committees on 7 January 2021, the day after the so-called January 6th, 2021 insurrection. The Intelligence Community Assessment, ICA, Foreign Threats to the 2020 U.S. Federal Elections, was withheld from the American public until March 10th, 2021 by outgoing Trump Administration Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe and by incoming Biden Administration DNI Avril Haines. In a bizarre example of intelligence community bureaucratic doublespeak, deception, and omission, the Biden administration released ICA foreign threats to the 2020 U.S. federal elections, states, and it quotes that the report, this intelligence community assessment, ICA, as required by Executive Order 13848, (1)(a), addresses key foreign actors' intentions and efforts to influence or interfere with the 2020 U.S. federal elections or to undermine public confidence in the U.S. election process. It builds on analysis published throughout the election cycle and provided to executive branch and congressional leaders. This ICA does not include an assessment of the impact foreign malign influence and interference activities may have had on the outcome of the 2020 election. And there's an ellipsis there, meaning that there's more. There's another paragraph here, quote, key judgment four, we assess that China did not deploy interference efforts and considered but did not deploy efforts intended to change the outcome of the U.S. presidential election. We have high confidence in this judgment. China sought stability in its relationship with the United States and did not view either election outcome as being advantageous enough for China to risk blowback if caught. Beijing probably believed that its traditional influence tools, primarily targeted economic measures and lobbying key individuals and interest groups, would be sufficient to achieve its goal of shaping U.S. policy, regardless of who won the election. We did not identify China attempting to interfere with election infrastructure or provide funding to any candidates or parties, close quote. The article continues. We previously reported via multiple exposés published at The American Report, a completely different fact pattern. Now, the following are some selected bullet points from the article. And this is all attributed to this website, The American Report. Biden using scorecard and the hammer to steal another U.S. presidential election, just like Obama and Biden did in 2012. Another bullet point. Twitter drop 8. Baker scandal deepens. FBI, and they list FITF / Twitter, censored hammer. I don't know what FITF stands for. Hammer scorecard expose published by The American Report days before 2020 election. FITF works with CIA. Another bullet point. Proof positive. Coordinated cyber warfare attacks against U.S. by China, Russia, Iraq, Pakistan to steal election from Trump. Another bullet point. Exclusive. Proof China-Russia hacked 2020 election. IP addresses in China, Russia, Hong Kong, Germany, Canada, Czech Republic, hacked Pennsylvania, Nevada, Michigan, Georgia, battleground states. Raw data analytics show. Another bullet point. Absolute interference. Cybersecurity experts, : Chinese cyber warfare attacks flipped U.S. election from Trump to Biden. Chinese-made TCL/Alcatel phones distributed to Georgia poll managers secretly connected to internet. Another bullet point. China's cyber warfare attack on 2020 U.S. election tied to Mitch McConnell's CCP-connected wife, Elaine Chao. Another bullet point. Since 2015, FBI DOJ had secret evidence providing Hunter and Joe Biden's China ties, says CIA whistleblower. Another bullet point. Stealing free speech and elections. James Baker, former FBI general counsel, buried Hunter's laptop from Hill Story at Twitter and Hammer scorecard source code, according to CIA contractor turned whistleblower Dennis Montgomery. There's another bullet point talking about Connect. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It was a poll management company, election management company, software company, whose founder and I believe chief executive officer is from China. Anyway, it says Connect's confidential and proprietary proposal reveals 100% cloud-based poll chief system connects to internet, Android, iPhone, tracks voting machines, scanners, tabulators, memory cards, ballots, chain of custody, election staff payroll, and election judges or adjudicators. Connect considered, that's K-O-N-N-E-C-H, considered the possibility of keeping the jobs in offshore locations, close quote. Another bullet point, China payday, FTX, early investor Binance linked to CCP, Klaus Schwab's WEF, UN, sounds like a pump and dump for Dems and CCP. Another bullet point, China launches World War III, low intensity conflict, unrestricted warfare underway in US. SARS-CoV-2 is an unrestricted bioweapon and force multiplier deployed while CCP used hammer and scorecard to steal 2020 election. And there's a final bullet point I had, quote, let me know when the pandemic starts, close quote, CIA director turned whistleblower Dennis Montgomery told the FBI in December 2015. The article continues. According to CIA contractor turned whistleblower Dennis Montgomery, the hammer was relocated to Fort Washington, Maryland, and began operating at Fort Washington in February 2009. Montgomery also claims that John Brennan and James Clapper commandeered the hammer. Although Fort Washington appeared to be a U.S. Navy facility, it was actually the head of CIA cyber operations, according to the whistleblower tapes that were released from U.S. District Judge Murray Snow's courtroom in 2015. According to Montgomery, President Obama, with John Brennan and James Clapper, commandeered the super surveillance system known as the Hammer and moved it to Fort Washington, Maryland to spy on Obama's political enemies. Close quote. And that's all I have from this extensive article. I've been doing all I can to get my congressional representative to push for official investigation of these matters. I suggest you do as well, unless you're happy with the disastrous path our country has taken with the skyrocketing inflation and crime, economic recession, food and fuel shortages, promotion of the racist critical race theory and the LGBTQ agenda, the climate change hysteria and hucksterism and all the rest of it. Moving on today, let's look at a few pertinent current events. As you may know, last week was the 2023 annual gathering of the World Economic Forum, or WEF, at a resort in Davos, Switzerland. It's meeting of the CCP totalitarian model, world government worshiping multinational government, business, and societal elites. As I said, it's an annual gathering that gets quite a bit of attention, although much of it is kept away from the public eye. The attendees fly in on their private jets, dine on steak and other delicacies, and propagandize for their mantra of fighting climate change and plot how they're going to enslave the rest of us by forcing us to give up eating meat and switch to consuming insects, forego the use of fossil fuels, personal privacy, and other rights and freedoms in order to be controlled by a cabal of technocrat totalitarian royalty. Here's some audio from Steve Bannon's War Room program on the Real America's Voice Network, January 18th, as we were nearing the end of the WEF gathering. It was rebroadcast on rumble.com, and it features reporting from Davos by War Room International correspondent Noor bin Laden. And you did hear that right. Her name is Noor bin Laden. She's a member of the bin Laden family. If you're not aware of it, the bin Ladens are a powerful and wealthy Saudi family with close ties to the Saudi royal family, and they disowned Osama bin Laden once his terrorist activities became known. Noor bin Laden is the niece of Osama bin Laden. Born to a Swiss mother and a half-brother of Osama bin Laden, she was raised and educated in the West and holds Swiss citizenship, but says she's an American at heart and has long been a supporter of President Trump. In this soundbite, you'll hear her use the phrase ANO, A-I-N-O, or American in name only. I don't know if she coined that phrase, but it seems quite appropriate here. Similar, we're thinking about RINO, you know, Republican name only. She uses ANO to describe the U.S. denigrating globalist elites attending at Davos. Among those people this year would have to be the ultimate fraud, in my opinion, climate change huckster, former U.S. Vice President Al Gore, who, according to Britain's Daily Mail, again, citing that newspaper as I had above, has made some $330 million and has a $36 billion green energy investment fund that pays him $2 million a month as he peddles his climate change hysteria. Was it Al Gore who predicted the world environment as we have known it was going to come to an end by 2000 if we didn't take major actions on global warming, as it was called at the time, now known as climate change? And sure enough, this year at Davos, there was Al Gore pontificating about boiling oceans and other supposed climate cataclysms and the criminal perils of governments not devoting major resources to combating the climate change boogeyman. This kind of spiel is just what the WF self-anointed masters of the universe love to hear. Play sound by one, please.
Let's go to Davos, where it's all happening, the railhead of this madness. I want to go to Noor bin Laden. Noor, can you give us an update on the day two of the work there? What's going on, ma'am?
Hi, Steve. Yes, the first thing I'd like to say in response to what you were just saying in your monologue, this is exactly right. They are terrified of a return to the 1776 spirit. This is exactly what they're trying to destroy, because what the founding fathers stood for is the exact antithesis of what the globalists are working so hard to implement for humanity. And so they bring in this panel of ANOs, as I call them, the Americans in name only, to talk about what's going on in terms of politics in the U.S. And the theme, you know, I mean, the title for the panel was America in parenthesis, bound. And they're talking about the state of politics there and how you have all these extremists. We're all extremists. Anyone who doesn't adhere to this agenda are extremists. And the messaging has just been repeated ad nauseum for the past few years. And they even manufacture things such as insurrections in order to justify pushing this narrative onto the people. And apart from that side note of that specific panel, all the panels that have been taking place so far very much center around what we've been discussing the last couple of days, around the digitization of all aspects of society. And that goes hand in hand with climate change, which is the Trojan horse, as I mentioned, which will enable them, thanks to all the advances in technology, the Internet of Things, 5G, progress in the science of metrology, that will allow them to measure everything, everywhere, at all times. And they have then these different panels that go into this the nitty-gritty of the implementation of such a system whereby we would all be hooked on a grid, but as I mentioned, with a very big focus on climate change. So the different panels range from mastering new energy economics, decarbonization, infrastructure for a clean energy economy, bending the emissions curve. And all of this is tied in further with twinning energy with digital, building momentum towards COP28, again, with regards to climate change. So this is very much the rollout of the different ways or the different angles through which they will implement such a system whereby everything is just digitized. And I'm repeating myself from the previous days, but really climate change is what they're going to use to put forward this system.
Noor, your reporting yesterday and the day before was dead spot on. Today on all media, they're connecting also climate change and others with mental health, and particularly mental health of younger people. Are they that blatant over there as mental health? Because I know they've got climate change and kind of our savior is going to be AI, but they're also getting into this mental health thing all day today, kind of carpet bombing it on the both CNN, MSNBC, all the major papers. Is that also a big element, as you reported before, that you're seeing this whole issue of mental health?
Absolutely. There's a specific panel today dedicated on that very topic. And this goes hand in hand on a larger scale with the whole demoralization, brainwashing techniques of the 20th century. These mass psychological operations that they launch on the population. And it's very obvious with the example of climate change. They've essentially brainwashed our generation to be so terrified about this so-called climate change. And again, it's always the same playbook. They use fear as the mechanism to then force these policies on a willing population who are just so terrified that they'll accept these savior-like propositions that they put forward. It's, again, the same playbook, problem, reaction, solution, and climate change, just as a so-called pandemic, is one of those cases.
You know, that gets to your first point about the spirit of 1776. If anything, from the spirit of 1776, that one-third of Americans that really were patriots and fought, that one of the, it's not simply liberty and freedom. It's the grit and cussedness and determination that you're going to take on all odds to do that. Is that what you're saying? That's the counter. They're trying to break that. That's the spirit they're trying to break. And they come at you with all these massive, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's a poly crisis, whether it's climate crisis, and all the young people are somehow got to be on some sort of drug because they're completely depressed. Is that the spirit of 1776 they're trying to crush?
Absolutely. 100%, Steve. And I come back, you know, to my letter to America, where I specifically talked about this point where they captured so many aspects of our society, modes of communication, education system. And it just breaks my heart when I see, you know, these younger generations of Americans who know very little about their history. But that is exactly by design, because an uninformed population is a population that is easily controlled. And we are all, the population at large has just been lulled in this complacency and apathy and just willingness to accept these measures without knowing that they're signing themselves up to the slaughterhouse.
If you want to find out more of Noor bin Laden's work, including her letter to America, you can find it on her website, which I believe is Noor, N-O-O-R, bin Laden. So that's N-O-O-R-B-I-N-L-A-D-I-N. She spells it with an I instead of some spelling has it with an E. So it's N-O-O-R-B-I-N-L-A-D-I-N.com. Here's more audio from Bannon's War Room program, this time on January 60, featuring interviews with Trump lawyer and former One American News reporter Christina Bobb. And I think he also points out that she is a Marine Corps, U.S. Marine Corps major. Must be in the reserves. I don't think she's full-time Marine Corps, but she was apparently one time. Anyway, and also War Room co-host and editor Natalie Winters. And their commentary on the discovery of illegally stored classified documents kept by our president, Joe Biden, at his heavily CCP-financed Penn Biden Center at the University of Pennsylvania, I believe, for the promotion of globalism, his center there, as well as at one of his mansions, this one in Delaware. Isn't it ironic that after his self-righteous condemnation of President Trump, who, as far as I can see, has done nothing wrong in possessing some classified documents securely as Mar-a-Lago, Florida home, where it was raided by the FBI under Biden's administration, while while Trump negotiated with government officials over the importance and the classification of these documents that he had, Biden himself appears to have acted illegally with the documents he had. when he allegedly took possession of and stored the classified documents he had, Biden had none of the legal protections of a president, since he was formerly reportedly vice president at the time. Joe Biden knows he can come up with any lie he wants, and the backers of in officialdom will his backers in officialdom will his backers in officialdom, I'm sorry, will obediently give him a pass, and that's what they're trying to do now. The now Republican-controlled House is gearing up for an official investigation into this matter, which Biden and his handlers are and supporters claim is merely a matter of unintentional mishandling. The Penn Biden Center classified documents were reportedly discovered before the midterm elections last year, but only disclosed over the past few days. It's still unclear what all the documents were related to, though some are said to be connected with Ukraine. And it's still unknown exactly who was responsible for the disclosures about the documents. Biden critic Congressman Matt Gaetz has speculated that some Democrats are so disgusted with Biden and his disastrous leadership that they may have been the source of the disclosure in an attempt to destroy him politically. Please play soundbite 2.
This is how we roll here in the war room. Christina Bob. Christina, you're not simply a lawyer, you're also a Marine Corps major. The handling of this is what they're trying to cover. Look, and I don't want to take the bait and do the Mar-a-Lago versus, because there's no comparison.
Right.
In this, and Natalie Winter's going to come in a second about the financing of the Chinese Communist Party and how the CCP's been all over the Penn Biden Center. That's why it exists. That's where they got the money from. That's where the University of Pennsylvania got the cash. And I think 60 or 70 million bucks overall. Not just for the center, but overall, and a bunch of them in that center. The Dana Ramos, a senior person making $2,500 an hour over Gibson Dunn, is not doing storage movement. Okay, that's where you send your body man. That's where you send your assistants. That's where you send your, as we call them here in the war room, belovedly, the Grundoons. The Grundoons go in there. You don't have arguably the most powerful lawyer in Washington, D.C., I say Bob Bauer and her, the most powerful lawyer, because she represents Joe Biden as a person. She represented the office of the president as White House counsel. And now she's not over there rummaging around because they get another move. And they move these things multiple times. Even NBC now admits, Christina, these are the most classified documents we have. They're compartmented, top secret. We know they're about Ukraine. They've already leaked that. Is this, did she leave White House counsel to go over? I mean, you're a lawyer. Why would a lawyer, why would a personal lawyer, Joe Biden, be rummaging around that closet, ma'am?
Quite possibly. I think you hit the nail on the head earlier in your show. It's a cleanup job. There's no reason for her to be out there other than they are trying to cover up something else. And if you have Adam Schiff and the New York Times and CNN and all these Democrats saying, oh, his inadvertent mishandling of classified documents, they're all singing that song. It lets you know that's the cover up. That's not the actual story. So I don't think the actual story has come out yet. We need to figure out what's going on there. What happened with all of this? You know, who had access to those documents? What did they see? The fact that it's about Ukraine is extremely, extremely interesting, given how pertinent Ukraine is, not just today, but how important it was in Donald Trump's administration. That was the first impeachment hoax with the president of Ukraine, Zelensky. And then now you've got the United States has sent close to $100 billion over to the Ukraine. And of course, the Hunter Biden laptop says 10% for the big guy. Is Joe Biden getting kickbacks from this? What's happening to the money? There's been no oversight. So there's a lot of questions here. And I don't believe for a second that the media is telling the story honestly.
The Washington Post reports today that Milley, we have advisors over in, I think, Germany and Poland, training Ukrainian military for large-scale armored warfare, large-scale tank warfare, large-scale tank warfare. These people are taking income. The women and children are taking incoming nonstop, but we're training. So that means the defense industry is going to be shipping tanks over there, and you have no earthly idea what's going on. It's $100 billion going up. Training and funding. Christina, the special counsel could also be a way that they want to protect information coming out. There's a special counsel looking at, can't talk about ongoing investigation. Yep. How are these committees? Jim Jordan and Comer are saying they're going to get to the bottom of it. And they're already putting out information requests like for visitor logs, things like that. By the way, Hunter used to yep. live there. He didn't have to sign a visitor log. He was living at the house. How can the house, or what are you looking for to see how aggressive Jordan and Comer are in this, in these house investigations, ma'am?
Well, they have to get to the bottom of it. They have to continue to go until we figure out what happens. Clearly, the American people can see that this is not just a simple case of inadvertently leaving classified documents in a garage. This is a very serious spillage issue, and we need to understand what happened. So they have to actually come up with some answers. And I think it's incumbent. I know your viewers are very informed and very active. Every single one of your viewers should be calling their member of Congress, calling their representatives and their senators, saying, we want to know the truth about this. And the American people need to continue to push, because the executive branch, the Biden administration, has proven that they're willing to thumb their nose at the American people and ignore their concerns. And so the American people need to stand up, get loud, and push back to the point that they can't ignore it anymore, because they're going to try to continue to railroad us. They're going to try to continue these power grabs. They're going to try to politicize and weaponize the federal government, you know, continuing to go after parents at school board meetings and Donald Trump because he's their strongest political opponent. And we have to push back, and we're counting on House oversight, House judiciary to really lead the charge on that and just not give up. Keep going until we get the answers.
Bob Bauer is the new senior lawyer representing Biden. You can't make this up. From Perkins Coie, and he's the architect of the big steal. When's your book coming out? Because you've got the counter to Bob Bauer. Remember, Mark Elias, the demon who's running around to every battleground state right now trying to get the laws flipped so we can't possibly win? Bob Bauer was his bag man. Mark Elias. Mark Elias is like the engineer. Bob Bauer is the master architect. And they called Bob Bauer in from retirement, Anita Dunn's husband, to clean up. They are in full panic mode. You can't get any group of folks heavier on the Democratic side. Christina, how do people get to your book about the steal of the election?
Yep, you can get it on Amazon. It's called Stealing Your Vote. Thank you, Steve Bannon, for writing the introduction. I'm excited. It comes out in print next week. You can pre-order it, get a discount. And you can find me on social media, Twitter and Instagram, Christina_Bob, and Truth and Getter at Christina Bob.
Christina, thank you so much. Major Bob, thank you for joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Natalie Winters, Chinese Communist Party, access to the Penn Biden Center. Folks, they got the lawyer over there in the closet because they know they had a massive, 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 massive problem. And the cover-up's going to be this thing, but they're going to try to spin you and just focus on the cover-up. Just focus from 2 November before. Drive a stake in the 2nd of November, and let's get everything beforehand, because that's where big league crimes are. That's why it's a crime scene. Normally, the cover-up gets them in trouble. Here, the crime's bigger than the cover-up. The crime's bigger than the cover-up. Because this thing about inadvertent, when you're dealing with top-secret compartmented information, they're not asking about your attendance. It's not inadvertent. If you got it, if you've taken it out of a secure space, you've taken it out of a skiff. Remember, there's a chain of custody. These are signed out to a guy named Joe Biden. This is Joe Biden stuff. But it's also who's in back of it, who's financing it, who's got the possibility to get access and look at it. Natalie Winters, another brilliant piece you've got up. Walk us through the CCP and why they're so important in this story, ma'am.
Sure. Well, I know you've been calling it the Penn Biden CCP Center, but may I humbly suggest that we call it the CCP Penn Biden Center, because frankly, the CCP really is driving the wheel behind it. They're the ones who are fine. I humbly suggest.
You're Natalie, you're 100% correct. They get naming rights. So from now on, it's the CCP Penn Biden Center in that order. Ma'am, go ahead.
So this is the latest story that we have up on warroom.org documenting how Chinese cash has just flown through the walls of this so-called think tank. But this is really, I think, an example of how the Chinese Communist Party uses their leverage to their advantage, right? You're speaking a lot about lawfare, which shouldn't be lost on anyone, that legal warfare is one of the three warfares that's used by the Chinese Communist Party, in addition to media warfare and psychological warfare, which, of course, we see going on now. But what's really interesting is that a company whose CEO had spoke at a lot of these Penn events, specifically the Penn Wharton China Summit, which, of course, all the relevant documents documents and the website that correspond to this event have been deleted from the internet. We got another cover-up situation going on. But what's so interesting is that this company, it's called Xiaomi, which was actually placed on a military blacklist by the Trump administration because this Chinese, again, state-owned, basically technology firm was aiding and abetting the People's Liberation Army. So rightfully so, the Trump administration put them on a blacklist, stopped taxpayer funds from going to support companies that work with it, and really trying to crank down and stop the Chinese Communist Party's quest for, I would say, global ambition, which they seek to do so through these technology companies like Xiaomi. But what was so interesting was that the Biden regime sort of secretly, you know, in the dark of night, reversed the Trump-era blacklist on this company. Again, a company that has de jure and de facto ties to not just the Chinese Communist Party, but to China's military. So it really begs the question of why any American administration or even regime would do that in the first place, right? Basically allowing American funds to underwrite Chinese military proxies. But the Penn Biden Center really is the reason why.
When you look at all the things Joe Biden has done to benefit the CCP at the expense of the USA, how can you have any doubt the CCP owns Joe Biden, despite his talk about, oh, we're going to defend Taiwan? We may defend Taiwan militarily if we have to. The country is bigger than just Joe Biden, but he's done so much for the Chinese Communist Party. I'm not sure if you recall, but one of the worst things he did was abandon Afghanistan almost in the middle of, literally in the middle of the night, and $85 billion of state-of-the-art U.S. military equipment there, and Bagram Air Base 400 miles from the Chinese border. That action alone was what prompted Vladimir Putin to invade Ukraine. The former head of the British military forces in Afghanistan has publicly said that Biden, as commander in chief of the U.S. military forces there, should be court-martialed for what he did. And there's so many other things. Trump bans TikTok in the U.S. Biden lets him come back in. All these things that he's done. Here's this stuff with Penn Biden Center, CCP, Penn Biden Center. They have received huge millions and millions of dollars, huge amounts of funding from the CCP. Anyway, while we're still on the issue of bumbling, fumbling, stumbling Joe Biden's inappropriate handling of classified documents, while his administration continues to seek prosecution of President Trump over his, from what I can see, perfectly legal handling of such documents, here's a statement by our 45th president on the matter. Please play soundbite 2A.
We have two standards of justice in our country, one for people like you and me, and one for the corrupt political class, of which there are many. At the very same moment when my ultra-secure Mar-a-Lago home was raided by the FBI, Joe Biden was harboring classified documents in his China-funded Penn Center and his unsecured garage. Right on the floor, piles of paper. The floor was probably very wet and damp, as many garages are. Yet while I'm being persecuted by Trump-hating special counsel, I call them special prosecutors, but this one in particular is a prosecutor and a Trump-deranged person. They prosecute all sorts of things. He prosecuted war crimes and war criminals. Joe Biden, in the meantime, is being given white glove treatment by a establishment hack who tried to cover up the Russia hoax. He actually tried to cover it up. It's a travesty. Biden lied to the American people and weaponized the Justice Department, or as I call it, the Injustice Department, to go after me for the very crime he actually committed. And he wasn't president, so he didn't have the right to declassify, as I did. The difference is that while I did everything right, I did nothing wrong. Biden did everything wrong. The Boxer's hoax should be dropped immediately against President Trump. When I return to the White House, we will end the era of partisan witch hunts, restore equal justice under the law, and get back to government that delivers for the American people. And I mean securing our borders, creating millions and millions of jobs just like before, growing wages, stopping violent crime, and making our country great again. That's what we want to do. make America great again. Thank you.
If we aren't able to fix our rigged elections, I can't see Trump or other MAGA, that's Make America Great Again, candidates having any chance of being elected in a new election. Lastly today, we have audio from a January 17th interview on Emeril Robinson's Absolute Truth Show on frankspeech.com with China authority Gordon Chang on some recent congressional and state actions seeking to stop CCP's purchases of land across the U.S. Play soundbite three, please.
Texas Congressman Chip Roy introduced two major bills concerning the CCP just a few days after Congress easily voted to create the bipartisan House Select Committee on Strategic Competition between the United States and the Chinese Communist Party. The first is a bill that would stop any member of the Chinese Communist Party or an entity linked to the CCP from purchasing private or public land in the United States. Some individual states, like Texas, have introduced similar bills. According to data from the USDA, Canadian investors actually own the largest amount of foreign held land in the United States with 12.8 million acres. However, Chinese investors still own quite a bit of land here. These owners control about 195,000 acres of U.S. land. To give you an idea, that's about worth about $1.9 billion and is strategically located often to very sensitive areas in the United States. Roy also reintroduced legislation that would defund the World Health Organization due to its ties to the CCP. He thinks we should cut all taxpayer funding to the WHO. He said in a statement, quote, funneling millions of taxpayer dollars to the corrupt World Health Organization that serves the Chinese Communist Party is a slap in the face of hardworking American families struggling under record high inflation and to all those whose lives and livelihoods were ruined and destroyed by the COVID pandemic. Join me now as someone who's been sounding the alarm for a long time, Gordon Chang. Welcome back, Gordon. Gordon is the author of the book, The Coming Collapse of China, which is available now on Amazon. Gordon, your thoughts on this bill and this select panel. Do you think this is a good start? And do you think it either will actually affect change in regards to U.S. involvement with the CCP?
I think that the bill on land certainly is going to affect things because there is a movement. And as you say, in Texas, for instance, Governor Abbott has said that he will sign a bill banning China-owned land in or China purchases in Texas. This is an important thing because in Texas, a former Chinese military officer actually bought acres near Laughlin Air Force Base, where the Air Force conducts training. And as you point out, Fufeng, that food processing group from Shandong, bought those 370 acres within 12 miles of Grand Forks from that facility. They can actually not only monitor the signals that we send to drones and to satellites, but they could also disrupt them at a time of war. The Chinese are doing a lot of strange things with land, especially in Oklahoma. We need to stop this until we can figure out what's going on. I believe we should ban all China purchases, whether Communist Party linked or not.
That's interesting that you say that. I know particularly I have lots of family in California, and there's whole neighborhoods and towns that are being bought up by the Chinese. And they suggest that often in the cases of these purchases, there's really no one even living in their home. So what's going on there?
Well, some of this is because there is capital flight from China, which is accelerating because of the problems there, and people want a safe haven. But what's happening, though, at a time where there's worldwide food shortages, the Chinese are buying land and letting it lay fallow, and that's not a good thing. But there's been reports in the heartland where Chinese gangs have actually set up human trafficking operations on farmland. So, for instance, in Oklahoma, as I mentioned, Chinese parties are building fences. Now, everyone has a fence in Oklahoma, but those fences are meant to keep people out. The Chinese are building fences to keep people in. And so there's a lot that's going on there that we don't know. There are illegal marijuana grows. There was a gangland killing in Oklahoma. Four Chinese nationals were found dead. And clearly, they're bringing in the triads. So this is something that we absolutely have to stop.
Well, you know, I actually had not heard about the human trafficking aspect of this. When these gangs traffic humans into the United States, what is the end goal of trafficking these humans?
First of all, it could be sex trafficking. But also, remember, we got a problem at our southern border right now where we have unrestricted inflow. And that could be part of this. I don't know. But with everything that's going on, it is important for us to stop this crime. And we can get a handle on it because this is our country. I mean, the people in Oklahoma, for instance, where there's been a lot of attention recently, you know, point to these criminal activities. And that's important for us to stop. Whatever the purpose is, we know the gangs have infiltrated Oklahoma land, and this is just unacceptable.
And real quick before we let you go, something you said on Twitter the other day really caught my attention in talking about stopping China. But look, they do massive influence campaigns to people who make decisions. And you said, quote, some Americans have decided to take money from China and sell out their country. We must remove them from positions of power and influence. Who particularly Yes. are you talking about here, Gordon?
Well, first of all, we got Wall Street and Walmart and Disney and all the rest of it. But the thing that, of course, people are now talking about is the Penn Biden Center. The University of Pennsylvania, even before it established the Penn Biden Center, had been taking a lot of Chinese money. But after the establishment of the center, Chinese contributions increased by threefold or something. And as we know, some of that money indirectly has found its way into the Biden family. Because the center paid the president, the then ex-vice president, really for what is essentially a no-show job. So this has got to end. And we can end it because these flows of monies are observable. And we've watched the Chinese buy influence with their cash. And again, let me say, this is our country, and we absolutely have to stop that.
I agree with Gordon Chang that we need to decouple from China, not become more dependent on the CCP, which is working assiduously to decouple from the U.S. and the rest of the West while promoting more dependence on it. That is China, communist China. We face great danger by continuing to support and enrich the gigantic, what I have come to see as a money laundering operation for the corrupt Western elites that is communist China. Despite the great love affair with the CCP of so many of our bribed government and societal elites, the Biden crime family among them, the CCP continues working vigorously to eventually take over and enslave us, the longstanding goal of the CCP. A large amount of the mountains of cash showered on China's communist leaders by our Wall Street and other Western financiers is used to prop up and empower the CCP regime. This includes funding of the CCP's infiltration and corruption of every aspect of our government and culture. With all the public health and economic chaos unleashed on the world by the COVID-19 pandemic, which evidence strongly suggests originated in China as a bioweapon developed with U.S. funding by the People's Liberation Army, the CCP's emissary to the WEF gathering in Davos last week sought to assure its partners in crime there that China once again is opening up while inviting much more Western investment. We know that many of the CCP's friends on Wall Street, as they call them, along with so many others in the West, corrupted by the let's get rich in China mentality, are only too eager to continue to enrich the mass murdering, enslaving totalitarians in China. What do you think about all this? That's another show. As always, we hope you found the content of interest and value. You can listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted soon on the Jim Benson Show pages at bbsradio.com. Look for us again with another live show broadcast 2 weeks from now in the same time slot. Have a good rest of your day and evening.